When we first met the disciples in our second reading, it wasn't much of a party, really. I mean, if they had, they were a bit like one of these, deflated, empty, not feeling good. But things changed, didn't they? And I wanted us to think about what changed and what Jesus did to change things. Because things changed enormously, because in many ways we had our readings the wrong way around, didn't we? Because we had Jean telling us about the disciples, and they were in front of the Jewish council, and they were being quite bold and brave, and they were telling them about Jesus. And yet, the second reading was a few weeks earlier, and they were about as much use as this. They weren't going to change the world like that. Something happened. So at the moment it's useless, but it has lots of potential, doesn't it? It's waiting for something. So what's this balloon waiting for? Air. So how do we often get air into this? I've got to blow into it. I've got to breathe into it, haven't I? And that can be changed. And you see, when we heard our reading, when Jesus came into the room, he said, "Peace be with you." And then what does he do after that? He breathed on them. When it says he breathed on them, it's like he breathed into them. So things are changing. Now, a balloon we often think of as quite fragile. There's a certain fragility about it, and there probably is about each one of us. We often talk about the balloon being burst, don't we? Not always as a good thing. But actually, in our breath, there is an awful lot of power. I don't know if you knew that. Can you breathe out? Did you feel much? Did you feel anyone else breathing? I brought a book along with me. It's heavy. Do you think you could blow that book over? Could you breathe and make that book fall over? It doesn't seem to be working, does it? I can make it fall over with one little breath. I haven't got to push it. I could make that fall over easily with one little breath if I do it right. No, I can't. Oh, yes, I can. Oh, yes, I can. Cool. Come to church, it's panto time. All I need is a little breath. Do you think I can do this? So that balloon has a strength we don't often appreciate. And one little breath can knock things over, or has a power in it. I could also use my breath to blow a candle out. Gone. Or my breath, if that was a little smouldering ember, I thought I wouldn't do this in church. Have a little ember and blow, and it would become a flame. But the breath is stronger than we think. There are times when we think, well, I'm little and fragile and weak. I can't do anything. I'd love to serve God. I'd love to do things, but I can't. But when Jesus breathed on the disciples, he breathed the Holy Spirit. It's as if he breathed himself, his life, into them. And so when I think, oh, I can't do it, Jesus breathed. His breath, his spirit, comes into me. And then he changes I can't into I can. He empowers us. He enables us to do things for him. It doesn't matter whether we feel small or big or somewhere normal in between. When we're filled with the Spirit, that's what makes the difference. Now that balloon did something else then, didn't it? Because it can make a sound. But then you and I, God can use to make sounds, not horrible squeaky sounds like that, but perhaps good messages, telling people of God's love. And we think, well, I can't really do it, but it's the Holy Spirit in us that enables us. And we think, oh, I can't, well, I don't know how to talk to people, I wouldn't know what to say. Well, sometimes we just need to let God fill us. And he'll give us the words to say. So we can make sounds as we talk or as we communicate with people, a message of love. And if we ever think I can't, with the Holy Spirit, I can. So, what else can I do with a balloon? So this balloon has an energy to it now, doesn't it? It's got breath in it, and it's got the elasticity of the latex, the balloon. So I can do something else, can't I? Yeah, but because this is what Jesus said to the disciples, wasn't it? I'm sending you, so the Holy Spirit's going to enable them to go. So, they're from that upper room, those disciples were going to go out, not by their own strength or power, but by the Holy Spirit that was breathed into them. And now we think, oh, it's all gone, it's over. But no, Jesus, in a sense, keeps filling us with the Holy Spirit. So if we feel that we're running out, he's going to pour the Holy Spirit, breathe the Holy Spirit, and I can do it again. I'm not going to let it off. You've got the idea, haven't you? So it's important for that to happen. For me, not normally, what we do is we blow it up and then we tie a knot in it, don't we? But then the balloon's never going to be refilled. So we have to keep ourselves open to God. Mustn't cut ourselves off, shut ourselves off, but let God keep filling us with the Holy Spirit. And as you've seen, as the Holy Spirit comes into, as the breath comes into this balloon, the balloon grows. And it's through the Holy Spirit that the church grows. It's not by the balloon trying to do it harder all by itself. It's the Holy Spirit that will enable a church to grow. So we need to keep ourselves open to be filled. And that's true for the worldwide church. And it's true for us here at St. Mary's as well. Keep ourselves open to to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Because when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we become a church that we can do it. So often we think, there aren't enough of us, we can't do it. Well, maybe we can't do it, just like this balloon can't do much by itself. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we can. We can. Right, so I thought I'd do something to talk to the younger ones. So if you want to go back and have a bit more time with Ali in the corner. So I hope you'll excuse me doing something a little lighter, as I knew some little people were coming today. But I think there's also a serious message as well. And sometimes something visual does get us something to hang on to. And as I was saying at the earlier service, in some ways you could count yourselves lucky, because I know I do go on too long very often. And when we read that second half of John chapter 20, when I was first looking at it, I thought, my goodness, there's so much in it. And there really is. If you read it, just think of some of the big themes that are there. So I just picked one, thinking about Jesus giving the Holy Spirit and enabling them to go on and continue his mission. Otherwise, we could have had 5, 6, or 7 sermons, probably, when you look at it. Have a look at it later and just think of some big issues. But when Jesus, what I thought was also relevant for our world today is, there's a lot of talk about peace. And we think of efforts trying to be made for peace in Ukraine, or we see the situation in Gaza, and it just horrifies us, and we think, when is it ever going to change? When will peace come? And when Jesus came into the room, what were his first words? Peace be with you. Now sometimes we think, well, that's just the common Jewish way of saying good day, hello, shalom. And perhaps that could be the case, but as John says later on, there's a lot more he could have written. And so he's put down some things in this short gospel that he thinks are important. Important for us to know how we can have life through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah. In some ways that sums up his whole gospel. And when Jesus comes, he brings a message of peace. But it's more than just, oh good, Ukraine and Russia have stopped fighting. But they're all there, you know, got their guns pointing at each other, waiting for the next opportunity. Shalom means so much more than that. It means peace, it means wholeness, it means health, it means restoration, all manner of good things. And that's what Jesus brings. I think he records it in the gospel there, because it's more than just saying, hi guys. This is what it's about, bringing peace. But it's a greater peace than they could have imagined, because he then went on to talk about forgiveness. And sometimes we think, oh, is he telling us that we can judge people? You know, it's down to us, you know, we sit there deciding, I forgive you, but no, you're not going to be forgiven. But that's not really the case at all. It's not about us deciding. It really depends on how people respond to the call of Jesus. It's how they respond to whether they choose to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, or not. And that's what determines forgiveness or not. But we have a message that's desperately needed by our world. A message of peace between people, or perhaps most of all, between us and God. And I think sometimes when we get that relationship right, we start getting the other relationships right. Sometimes we try and force peace on earth, but it doesn't become a lasting peace. when we create peace with God, that does make a change. And these two readings have always been, not just these two readings, but this whole what happened after Easter has been had a big influence on me coming to faith. Because I think, yes, they were absolutely crushed. Jesus had been taken. What was the point now? They'd gone into hiding. And yet a few weeks later, after the day of Pentecost, 3,000 new believers have come to faith. And we see the disciples transformed. They're now standing up to the authorities. They're not hiding. Something has changed. And that just fills me with confidence that what the Bible says is true. That it can seem like the end of everything, and yet when Jesus is alive, it changes everything for good forever. I pray that we will feel that we actually do need to be open to the Holy Spirit filling us so that we can have power. We can go out. We can be changed and filled and spread this the people who need it the most. Amen.